We've touched on a lot of issues since 9 o'clock this morning. Jay wants to speak about one of the first ones that we were talking about, and this was with reference to McGabbry Prison. Jay, good morning.
Morning. How you doing, Frank? Love your show. Frank, basically what it is, I spent a considerable amount of years in prison. I'm not going into that. That's immaterial. But the first thing they do when you go into prison is they'll bring in the reception. You'll see a governor. You'll see a mental health. Well, it's not actually mental health. It's just an ordinary nurse. She'll detail all your medication, everything that you're on, what your mental health issues is, if you're a drug addict, blah, blah, blah. And the first thing that the prison will do, they'll slap all medication, antidepressants, anything that somebody has come into prison on that the doctor has issued.
They'll stop those, is that what you said?
It's automatic. It's automatic. They'll just take everything off you, especially if it's opiate-based, like maybe diazepam or the pregabalin or stuff like that. It's automatically stopped. It could take you a week, maybe 2 weeks, to see a doctor, and he'll reintroduce the medication that he thinks that you need.
That first week must be difficult, is it?
But take for a lot of prisoners, I would imagine, yeah. And that's where the vulnerability comes in. You'll go on the first night wing. The whole jail, the prison system at the moment, I think there's 1,100 prisoners, roughly about 1,100 prisoners in Northern Ireland. I think there's 600 jobs for the prisoners. So the remainder of the prisoners are locked 23 hours a day. They're fed at their door. So, I mean, you know yourself, Frank, it's like you get in their closet and sitting there for 6 weeks, 6 months, a year, whatever, and only getting out for an hour a day, which they're entitled to do by law. They have to let you out for the hour a day. So a lot of guys coming up with vulnerable mental health issues, and the prison... Don't get me wrong, I mean, fair enough, the prison are under man, they're understaffed, they're under morale. You the guys down there, these new guys coming in, these new prison officers coming in, are, I think it started at 19,000 per year, it goes up to 23,000 per year. You the guys down there who's in the job a few years, who's on 38,000 per year, double their wages. So the lack of motivation and the lack of, the prison officers just don't really want to be there. I mean, it's maybe two or three prison officers on a wing that deal with 50, 60 men. It's hard enough. They don't want 50, 60 men, especially criminals, running about the wing, and there's only three of them there. By the time they hit the response, and they get the prison locked down, they think they'll be dead. It's as simple as. So I haven't really got the motivation to go and help these guys. Now, at the weekend, there's no psychiatric help at all. If someone wants to commit suicide, what they're done is they're put in a safer cell, and they're left with their own devices. Prisoners are come up, they open the slab, they have it gotten every 15 minutes. But there's not really a big lot they can do. Do you know what I mean? At the moment, that guy, if you can remember from up around Derry.
Well, I don't want to talk about any specific person, but I just want to take you back into that cell that you were in for 23 hours. What's it like in a cell all day, all evening, and all night, with the exception of 1 hour? Because it's a relatively small room, isn't it?
I think there's not a big lot you can do. I mean, you can walk them down. It's all to do with mental health. It's a big main game prison. You're in a cell for 23 hours. There's only so much television you can watch. Or if people are going to say, well, my God, they have a TV in there. It's not like that at all. You're coming in, you have a lot of problems, and you're locked in that room. There's not a lot you can do. If you're locked at 20 past 7 at night, that door doesn't open again until 9 o'clock the next morning. You're on your own. That's every day, 24/7.
Are you locked the rest of the time, or must you just stay in but the door is actually open?
What they have is, like I said earlier, they have something you think it's 1,100 prisoners, and the whole prison system, they have 600 jobs. So you have 500 men in the cell 23 hours a day.
Yeah, but the guys who are in the cell 23 hours a day, is the door locked the entire time?
It's locked the entire time.
So
There's two prison staff on to deal with. Mm-hmm. I think a minimum in any wing in McGabbry are 50, 52 men.
So you walk up and down the little cell...
Eight by ten,
so it's very, very small. You're walking up and down past your bed, you're turning around, going back towards the door, you sit maybe on the little chair and you watch television, you sit on the side of the bed, watch TV.
You wonder what your family's doing, you wonder how your kids are doing, you wonder how your parents are doing, maybe your mother's sick, your father's sick, your wife's not going through a great time, she hasn't got a lot of money, you're sitting in jail, there's not a big lot of things you can do. And it's what I would imagine, it eats a lot of men. I mean, put yourself in offices, your friend, straight away. I understand people are going to say, listen, a lot of guys deserve to be in there. That's 100% right. You're in jail to be punished, but you're not to be punished in jail. Do you know what I'm trying to say, friend?
Mm-hmm. Yes, your liberty been taken away. That is the punishment. So on the first day you're there and you do your 23 hours and then you get out for 1 hour, another day you're like that. How many days might you be in a row on the 23 hours? Or surely there's bound to be one of the days that you get a longer stretch out and about in the workshop somewhere.
No, it's not the way it works. You have to apply for a workshop. It could take a minimum of 3 months because there's that many prisoners, there's that many names in there. They sort out who they want or who the... And you may be... It could take up to 4 months, 5 months to get a job in the prison. But the rest of the time you're locked. No, you're 23 hours locked. People think
And that could be 7 days in a row?
No, it is 7 days in a row.
And then that could go into 14 days in a row?
It went 6 months, Frank.
That's an amazingly good reason for staying out of prison.
1,000,000%. But things happen, Frank. Sometimes it can be unavoidable. There's a lot of guys in jail who shouldn't be in prison, to be quite honest. I know. I'm not going to mention.
Is that because you feel they should be in some sort of a mental health facility?
Well, there's one prisoner, I won't mention his name, who his sentence was 18 months. And I know this guy well. I spoke to him regularly. And this is 11 years later, and he's still in. The reason he's still in is because the courses that the pro board need him to do, the prison haven't got the funding to do them. So he's in a catch 22. What does he do? And his sentence is only 18 months, Frank.
Obviously, 11 years later,
he's still here.
Yeah, obviously they feel he's not prepared yet to go back out into society, or society isn't prepared to reintegrated. Now, I don't want to speak about one specific person, but okay, I'll let you finish what you were saying about him, because I'm a bit confused as to how you could go in for 18 months and be there for 11 years.
Because the prison haven't got the resources to fund the courses that he needs to satisfy the parole commission.
So he's seen as unfit to go back into society.
That's not his fault, Frank. That's the prison's fault. That's the government's fault. The fund's not there for the courses that he needs to do to produce in front of the parole commission. But like as you say, we'll go back into the vulnerable prisoner thing. They're doing their best. Prison staff are doing their best. What happened was when they closed the non-cash, they paid off 1,300 prison officers, and right away there were short staff. They wanted to get rid of the old guard because they were on too much money. They were saying the prison service was costing, or the prison system was costing X amount of money a year. So they wanted to get rid of the old guard, bring in these new guys and give them half the wages. I'm still going to say the guy, I'm earning £19,000. The guy beside me is earning £38,000 for doing the exact same thing.
Yeah, so you can understand, as you say, the morale is low among some prison officer staff. Yeah, I understand what you're saying, and you certainly are giving us an insight into what it's like being on the other side. When you were in that cell for 23 hours a day, did you regret what you'd done, Jay?
Frank, you know, to be 1,000,000% or 100% honest, sorry, jail's not a deterrent for no one, and that's the truth. It's not really a deterrent for anyone. I mean, you'll go in there and you'll meet guys who are, and there are people who we call career criminals who go in there and they learn things and come out, they'll get worse and they'll get worse and they'll get worse. Probation haven't really got the funding now that they used to have for to try and rehabilitate these guys.
How many times were you sentenced? How many times did you go back to prison?
I've been in prison 6 times, Frank.
For a series of different offences?
Well, more or less the same offence, but different circumstances.
You did the same thing, the same type of thing over and over again.
Out, back out, in, out, yeah.
And would you tell me what that actually is that you've done?
Armed robbery, Frank.
And can we be confident that if we're providing a service in a bank or in a supermarket or in a pub, that you won't come and rob us with a weapon in the future?
Statistics with psychology in the prison state that if a white criminal male, hasn't stopped committing crime by the time he's 34, chances are he's not going to stop. If he's been a career criminal, he's been out all his life, he's not going to stop, he's not going to change. That's his way of life. I suppose it's like your dad said in his ways, criminal said in his ways, he'll just keep on going and going and going and going.
So what you're saying, even with that experience of being in prison for 6 times, being in that cell for 23 hours a day, being an armed robber on 6 different occasions, you would consider breaking the law at that level again?
coming out of prison, there's not a great lot of help. There's no organizations here that I can go to, apart from probation, who now haven't got the fund to help me. What I do is I walk into probation for one day a week for 5 minutes. I'll sit down and she'll ask me, how you going? I said, not too bad, dead on. I think we're telling our lives, Frank, obviously. Dead on, I 100%, everything's great. If you're in time, plan the robbery. And how do they go to police that? For, I mean, probation, I've asked for a couple of courses. I said, look, I need X, Y, and Z. And they said, look, to you, to be honest, we haven't got the funding for it.
Okay, so they haven't got the funding to help you and you feel that you need to be helped. Is there something in you, Jay, that attracts you to the idea of going back to prison?
It's no deterrent, Frank. It's not a scary place. It's not like you would watch on television or that. That's a lot of your nonsense. Once you're in there and you're a face and people know you, you get very little hassle. The prison staff, like I say, they'll come in. It's a bit of respect, though. You give them a bit of respect, we give you a bit of respect back. I know who I am. They know who I are. We know there's a line in the middle. Don't cross the line we'll be with.
Do you feel for your victims over the years?
Frank, I've been telling lies of shit. I still sit and buses in my head about it, but no, I don't know. I move on, Frank. I have to move on. I have no choice. If I live in the past, I would have no future, really, probably, would I?
It's far be it from me to give you advice because I'm not qualified enough to do it, Jay. But I'll make a request on behalf of people who are listening in society who don't break the law, who don't rob from other people. Could you try not to do your seventh armed robbery?
I'll do my best. But listen, at the same time, there needs to be a lot more funding put it back into the prison. Instead of taking it back out again, needs to be put back out again. These guys need to sort of way. The courses that's available in the prison, the activity that's available in the prison is sort of way non-existent. Prison officers haven't got no morale. And in fact, the last couple of reports, Frank, have turned around and said that McGarry is one of the most dangerous prisons in Europe. And you've got Stalags in Russia, and you've done whatever, and Bangkok and all the rest, and they're saying McGarry is one of the worst prisons. I'd sort of they probably have to agree with them. On both sides, okay. Prison staff and our side.
Okay, Jay, listen, very interesting speaking to you. And I seriously wish you well with your life. This is important. I wish you well with your life and I hope you can make the right decisions. I appreciate you listening to the show, fella. Thanks for coming on.
Right.
Thank you.
Good luck. Bye-bye.
Thank you. The reports have indeed been very negative about McGabbery, but we should emphasise that there are also major signs of improvement have been highlighted as well over recent years. Alan's got a point. Good morning, Alan.
All right, Frank, what about you?
Very good, Alan. Go ahead.
I've been in McGarry 5 times myself, and I must say, like, the place is an absolute dirt hole, to be honest with you. 4 times, the first night, you could stand in the clean cells over on the other side, and they get moved around, and we refused to go into the cell. It was that dirty. The prison officers had to give us squeezies and mops and buckets and all the wash down the cell, and we only had a half a sink and a half a window.
When you say half a sink and half a window, what do you mean by that?
There was only a bit of a sink attached to the wall.
Oh, yes. It was very small. And were you
no, it was broken in half.
Well, how were you able to use it then?
You didn't. You got a shower in the morning. You didn't discharge.
And would this have been damaged by a previous inmate, obviously?
The place was wrecked, Frank. So it was, you know. You had half a window as well. Like, and we refused to go into it. Say, like, the first thing you do when you go into McGarvey, the first thing you do is you go in and see the warden. First thing he asks you, is Power Mildew's after you? Nope, that's dead on. Ticks all the boxes. Mental health, all that, medication. And that's you down under the wings, you know. But the place is an absolute dive.
And you managed to go back to it on 5 different occasions. What was it that you had done, Alan?
Well, the first 2 times was for having no TV license and refused on principle to pay the fine. And the first thing, it's ironic because the first thing you walk in to do is they tell you to pick a TV and pick a one with remote control.
There is humour in that. And on the other 3 occasions, how were you a prisoner of conscience? What did you do the next 3 times?
The fifth time was actually a charge dropped to common assault. The other two times, we'll keep to ourselves, you know.
Well, do you think you'll be back in prison?
Well, I made myself a promise that I wouldn't, you know, but say the first 2 times was stupid. TV licenses, and them wings are full of people who are in for fines for no TV licenses. But I've had this conversation with you before about TV legends. So on the second time when I got done for it, and the third time I was coming out and started reading the book about it and what their rights were. So I took the BBC to court that don't pay TV legends any longer. So I'll not be back for that.
All right. Okay, I didn't realise that I had a conversation with you in the past, Alan, but...
Yes, Frank, we've had this before, do you remember?
Listen, I do know that we had a conversation on this programme about the wrongs and rights, the rights and wrongs of TV licence payments. I didn't realise that you'd actually contributed to it. Are you confident that you won't go back to prison?
Well, I'm doing all right, man. In all fairness, Frank, it's all right. It didn't bother me getting in doing 7, 14, maybe 21 days. Because, you know, it does give you time to think about things and all that there, right, Kipper, you know?
Okay. Different approach. There'll be people listening to this programme when they hear the likes of our last two contributors that they'll be beginning to think about how difficult it is to be a prison officer. Because what I get from both those guys is prison is seen, as it says in Porridge, to be an occupational hazard. They don't see it as a deterrent.